Morning, everyone. Does everyone have a handout sheet? Anybody need one? Okay, Brother Gord over there. There's a few extra there, Brother James. Okay. Okay. We are in Psalm 119. There are 176 verses in that psalm. And almost every verse has a reference to the Bible, the Word of God. And so I think that's very appropriate for the day and hour in which we live. We need to get back to the Bible, back to living, and back to studying and reading, memorizing the Bible. If we're going to have any kind of a walk with the Lord, the Bible is going to be a key part of that. Before we pray for the service this morning, there's a couple of things that I'd like to mention. First of all, regarding Venezuela. Did I mention last week? I don't think I did. I don't mention Venezuela at all last week. The government is imposing a 38% tax on all of the goods going into Venezuela. The country is in desperate need of finances, and so this is a potential money grab for them. And the shipper we're working with in Miami is trying to find a way around some of these taxes, but we'll have to see what happens with that. The inflation rate in Venezuela right now is 429%. And according to their statistics, what you paid a dollar for 12 months ago today cost $4, the very same item. And salaries, the wages of the people has always been terrible there anyways, and there's no way that that has kept up, so the people are in a desperate scenario. Another interesting fact, in the last 15 years, they have taken 14 zeros off of their currency. I want you to picture that. How did that happen? How can you even do that? We don't have a dollar bill, a bill that you could take 14 zeros off, right? Back about 3 or 4 years ago, inflation was so bad, it's even worse then than it is now. It's been going up and down. They had a $1 million bill and came to the point where the money was so worthless that if you, the employers would pay the employees every day, okay? And when you went home from work, you would spend that money every day because the next day it would be too worthless, okay? So what they did, they took all the zeros off the $1 million bill and just left it a one, and so they devalued their currency. And anyways, it's been a nightmare for the people there. So point in mentioning all of this is that the situation in Venezuela is increasingly getting worse, so our help is becoming increasingly important there. May God help us to continue on with the work there. And had a few other things. We'll just leave those. Let's go back to our scripture reference in Psalm 119. We're going to begin with verse 13 this morning, and let's bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather this morning. And Father, how rich we are to be able to take the Bible, the Word of God, the Word that our God has given to us to read and study and learn from, so that we might come to know you in a real personal way, that we might live our lives pleasing and glorifying to you, so that we might walk this life, this road of life, in a way that would truly be rewarding to ourselves, as well as obviously glorifying and praiseworthy to our Lord and our God. So, Father, we pray that you'd help us to learn as we study today, and might your Holy Spirit enable and empower the teaching and the preaching, as well as the hearing, and might your Holy Spirit help us to make application to that which you have written in your word, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So beginning with Psalm 119, verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. The psalmist will speak openly to others of the written judgments of God. This describes the legal decrees of God. God requires that we live by what is written in his word now, because our works will be tested by his word one future day. And then we make a reference in our notes to the judgment seat of Christ, where our works will be judged or tested by what is written in the Word of God. Now, we sang a song, the second last song we sang this morning was about the rapture. And what if it were today? What if the rapture would happen today? Do you ever think about that? What, realistically, now think about that for just a moment. If the rapture would happen today, what would that mean? Well, every Bible-believing Christian on planet Earth, every person that's born again of the Spirit of God, would be gone, okay? So for that day and the next day, there would be not one Bible-believing Christian on Earth. That would mean that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is withdrawn, and I want to say it temporarily, because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 would teach us that when the rapture takes place, the ministry of the Holy Spirit will change. Right now, the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, is restraining our wicked adversary, the devil, but then there'll be no more restraining. So what does this world want? They want, to this day, most people in most countries of our world, they want to live without God, right? They want nothing to do with the Bible, the Word of God. They want to be without God. Well, that's what they will have the day after the rapture takes place. A world without God. Can you imagine what that will be like? A world without the powerful influence and working of the Holy Spirit. No longer restraining evil. Can you imagine? You think... Well, I'm not sure what you think. Let me tell you what I think. I think the world is becoming incredibly, unbelievably wicked and evil in our day. And as a result of that, it will implode one day. And one day after the rapture, and all the believers are gone, and as I've just said, the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is gone, who would want to be here? The people of this world, they strive for the temporal things of this world. They'll have it after the rapture takes place. Unrestrained, they'll have access to whatever. And a person could spend quite a bit of time just now talking about what's going to happen the day after the rapture and what it's going to look like. I won't do that. But my brother and sister, we sang the song, "What If It Were Today?" If Jesus would come today, it would be glorious for you and I as believers, amen? Absolutely glorious. But what a world the lost will have to live in and to deal with. Amid all of the problems after the rapture, the judgment of God will be poured out on this planet. And especially the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, the wrath of God will be poured out on this planet. Oh, pity, pity the lost that don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. What a horrible time that's going to be. So we mentioned the statement from our notes. At the judgment seat of Christ, our works will be judged and tested by what God has written. After the rapture, the way we understand the Bible, the judgment seat of Christ will take place. And while the 7-year tribulation period is being ensued here on planet Earth, for the Bible-believing Christians of the New Testament dispensation from the time of Christ up until the time of the rapture, the judgment seat of Christ, where not our salvation, obviously, not tested, that's dealt with now, but their works will be tested. What have you done for Jesus? That'll be the question. And if you could picture this for just one moment, what will it be like when you have your day to stand before the Christ and you will give account of your stewardship while you are on earth? How did you do? What did you do? It matters now. It matters today. What you do for Christ in light of that day when you'll stand before him and give account of your stewardship. Then as we go on in our notes, were our works done in faith out of love for God and his people? That will be the question. unbelievers will meet with the Word of God at the great white throne judgment, where they will be tried, found guilty with no hope, and sent to the lake of fire for all of eternity. Pity the lost. They chose this world, temporal things, fleeting pleasures. They chose to reject Jesus the Christ as their Lord and Savior, and therefore their end is eternal damnation. It would be good if you and I, every once in a while, would stop to think about heaven and hell. And I think heaven, obviously, that's a beautiful thing to think about. But think about hell every once in a while as well. What will it be like for the people that you know who are without Christ today, and if they would die, they will spend an eternity in a place called hell, which at the end of the millennial reign is cast into the lake of fire, which is referred to in the Bible as the second death, where eternal torment will go on to those who don't know Christ. Can you imagine eternal torment? Can you imagine that? That's hard to fathom. Why will they endure that? Why will they suffer that? Because they made some choices in this life. They neglected to come to Christ and receive Him as their Lord and their Savior and live their lives for Him. They made choices. They chose the world. They chose what was temporal. They chose for the moment and lost their never-dying souls and will spend an eternity in hell. Unbelievably sad. Let's move on. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Now the word of God brought much rejoicing to the heart and life of the psalmist. Question. Has God's word, or does God's word, bring an equal amount of joy and rejoicing to your heart and life? Another question. Do you look forward to the times as a Bible-believing Christian every day when you go to your devotional study, you pick up your Bible, or if you study off of something electronic, whichever, but you go and you spend some time in studying the Word of God? Do you look forward to that time? There are so many things available to the people of this generation to distract and to make it so there's no time for a real walk with a living God. Don't let that ever happen to you. Don't let it happen. The most important thing you will do any given day as a Bible-believing Christian is to pick up your Bible and walk with the Lord, who walked and gave His life for you one day, and in return you give your life back to Him, and you have a real walk with the living God every day. That's what Christianity is about. Let's move on in our notes. Verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. To meditate is to ponder, to go over a thought a number of times in your mind. Work at memorizing the Word of God in order to meditate. Meditating on the Word of God will keep a person in perfect harmony with God. I like what the psalmist said, how he began verse 15. I will meditate. I like the I wills in this psalm, where this is a man making up his mind, this is what I will do. And I hope maybe this morning, as a result of seeing this verse, that you might also say, as a result of following the example of the psalmist, I will also every day spend some time meditating in His word. Now, most people are on the wrong way, not God's way. Remember, the devil is the great deceiver, and people are easily deceived. Is that true? Are people easily deceived? Man, that's true. That's so sad, but it's true. Proof. He talks, here's now the devil, he talks people out of listening to God's word and depend on their own understanding instead, or listen to lies on the radio, internet, television, books, schoolrooms, even churches, okay? The devil got Adam and Eve to disobey God in the Garden of Eden. How did he do that? How did that work out? They were thrown out of the garden. Who won in that case? The devil corrupted the whole world in Noah's day to the point where only evil was on the minds of the people continually. How did that work out? God destroyed the whole world with the flood. Who won? Next, the devil got most of the nation of Israel to murmur against God in the wilderness. How did that work out? All those who murmured died in the wilderness, never to see the land that God had promised to them. Who won? The devil got Judas to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. How did that work out? He was so depressed he committed suicide. Who won? The devil got Ananias and Sapphira to lie to the Holy Spirit. How did that work out? Acts chapter 5. They were both struck dead by God. Who won? The devil will get all the armies of the world to declare war on the Lord Jesus and the nation of Israel in Revelation chapter 19. How does that work out? The Lord Jesus destroys them all. Jesus won. The devil deceives all the armies of the world to join him in his final battle against God in Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to 10. How does that work out? He and his army all end up in the lake of fire for all of eternity. Jesus won. I don't want to spend too much time looking at the devil, but he is a very subtle adversary, a powerful enemy of God's people. Don't let him win. Don't let him win. If the devil is that powerful in his ability to deceive, how will you keep from being deceived? We find the answer to that in Psalm 119. Be in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher. And let the Holy Spirit lead you according to the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 16. Let's move on. The psalmist says again, another I will. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. That reminded me of Romans chapter 7, verse 22, where the apostle Paul says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Paul could delight in the law in his heart and mind, but his flesh went to war with him to try and enslave him in sin. Point being made, as you determine an I will, the flesh says, no, you won't. So the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 22 said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man with my mind. I delight. I love the word of God with my heart. I love the word of God. But I live in a body of flesh, and my body of flesh is fighting against what I delight in my heart and mind. Battle going on. So back to the psalmist again in verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. How does this verse work itself out in practical application? God's word is to determine our conduct. Please note that. God's word is to determine our conduct. Look at the book that God has given us. Pretty thick book. In this book, God describes the faith and practice that he intends for his people. That's why it's so important to read, to study, to meditate, to memorize on the truths of this book. Put it in your heart and mind. Meditate on it, memorize it, and then the Holy Spirit will lead you according to what is written in this book. Your conduct will conform to what is written in this book. Psalm 119 is so powerful in teaching that truth. God's word determined Noah's conduct, did it not? God told Noah to build the ark. What did he have to go on? The word of God. And he responded to the word of God and he built the ark. And he saved himself and his household. The word of God determined Joseph's conduct when Potiphar's wife tempted him to sin. He obeyed the word of God. God's word determined Abraham's conduct when God said to him, go offer your only son on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice, Genesis chapter 22. And what did he do? He obeyed the word of God and went. Therefore, he's called a man of faith. God's word determined Joshua's conduct in the conquest of the promised land. Many glorious victories. Why? They followed the leadership of God and his word, and God gave victory after victory. The great question, will God's word determine your conduct? If it will, you'll be greatly blessed by the presence of God with you, and you will be greatly rewarded some future day. Can there be anything more wonderful in this life? We live in a wicked world, but in this life, we can experience the reality of God with us. How precious that truth. Let's move on in Psalm 119, and we'll read the next section. All these sections are always 8 verse sections, beginning with verse 17. The psalmist prays, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Now going back to verse 17, the psalmist prays, God, deal bountifully with thy servant. In this prayer, he's asking God to treat him well. When you pray, ask your loving Heavenly Father for his help, his presence, his blessing, his comfort, his peace, his power. Verse 17 again, that I may live and keep thy word. Notice the psalmist recognized he needed God's help to keep the word that God had given. You cannot obey or walk in the word in the energy of the flesh, like that verse we just read from Romans 7, 22 and 23. The conflict that takes place there, the only way to win in that conflict is by prayer and depending on God to work in you and with you and through you. If you've been a Christian for a while, one thing you already understand, your flesh, your physical body, has an appetite for self-gratification and for the things of this world. And it will fight tooth and nail to gratify itself. But a Bible-believing Christian has a new heart, a new nature. A Bible-believing Christian has the very life of Christ, the very life of the resurrected Christ, we should add, inside of the Bible-believing Christian, enabling and empowering and facilitating a life of obedience to God and a life of victory. Your flesh is nothing but a hindrance to a walk with God. That's why Galatians 2:20 makes the statement, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The flesh has to be crucified. Remember Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Give the body over to death with its desires, and then take your hands off and allow the Holy Spirit of God to empower you and enable you to live in glorious victory. Verse 18, the psalmist prays, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. What is the psalmist asking for here? That God would enable him to see the riches found in the Word of God. So the question, are you able to find the riches concealed in the Word of God? Are you able? That will require some diligent study, some meditation, memorization. The Bible teaches, the good things the Bible teaches will require preaching, reading biblical exposition, and earnest prayer. Could I tell you that as an old person looking back at life, some of the most wonderful times in my life have been in reading the scripture, rereading a passage, work at memorizing a passage and meditating on a passage, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit will open the door to that passage of scripture and just bless your heart with the riches of the truths found in that passage of scripture. That doesn't come from just a casual reading. It's great if you read your Bible every day. Obviously, you ought to, as a Bible-believing Christian, as we've said so many times, you ought to read your Bible every day. But don't just read it. Think about it. Meditate on it. Study it. Let the Spirit of God take the scripture and work in your heart and life. Many precious truths of the Bible are like gold nuggets. Many of the precious truths of the Bible are not gold nuggets laying on top of the ground. They require work to dig deep and find them. You have to dig into the scripture. Verse 19, the psalmist prays, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. This world is not the home of God's people. Remember, Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. New Testament believers are looking for mansions Jesus has gone to prepare, John chapter 14. How could we be other than strangers in this world when the devil and his followers control most of the government, the media, big business, most educational institutions, entertainment industry, and the minds of the general population? You know a news item this week? In the U.S., the Democrats control the coastal parts of the country, the West and the East. In most of the Democrat states, a new thing has just been made possible, that Satan clubs will be made available in the school system in these Democrat states. Satan clubs. Do you know what's been banned from the public school system over there for the last 50 years? You know what's been banned? This book has been banned. Now, our adversary, the devil, is able to move into the school system and let his presence be known. But that's been going on for a long time already. I don't know how many of you remember, but when our church, before we had this property, we bought this property in 1991. I remember about 1988, we were on Osgood Drive, we were meeting in a public school. And in the summertime, they put us in the gym, and the gym was next door to the library. So when we go to church, occasionally I would take a look into the public school library to see what's there. It was a grade 7-8 school. And you know what I found? I think I mentioned this before at church. A section of books about this long on Satanism and the occult. About 25, 30 books at least. And I kind of looked through a little bit. I didn't want to talk about it. I better not talk about it. The devil has been in the school system for a long time. We have an adversary. He's wicked, wicked, wicked. He fights against God in every possible conceivable place and way. But the most wicked, damning place for him to fight is in the school system, and starting with the kids. That's the world we live in today. Let's move on. Verse 19 again. The psalmist prays again that God would not hide the riches of his word from his heart and mind. This is because God's word encourages, inspires, enlightens, gives comfort and hope, and challenges to press on in the battles of life. God's word is also powerful, loving, living revelation of God's presence with and in his people. Man, the word of God is powerful. How glorious the word of God. Verse 20. The psalmist says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. The psalmist says, his very soul breaks as it longs for the precious truths of the word of God. The person who is truly born again has been given the very life of the resurrected Christ and the new nature that longs for real fellowship with God. Emphasis on longs for real fellowship with God. Why does a young child, let's say a two, three, four, five-year-old, why does a young child who has loving, caring parents desire to be with them, to be held by them, to cling to them, to be comforted by them, to be cared for by them? Why? Because that child is a very part of the parents. So it is also with a person who is genuinely born again. We become a very part of Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30. We are given the very life of Christ, as we've already said. We love to be with our loving Father and our wonderful Lord and Savior, who gave his very life to redeem our souls. We want to be with him. We love him. We serve him. We want to be with him. And verse 21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. God rebukes the proud. That is, he deals with them in his righteous anger. The proud are cursed. What does that imply? Let's go back in our thinking to Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And there, the serpent was cursed more than any other creature, and therefore had to crawl on the ground on his belly. To this day, all the snakes crawl on the ground, right? A part of that curse being carried forward. And then to the ground was cursed as a result of this action. So here's the serpent cursed, crawling on the ground, and the ground also cursed. And then the proud are cursed and see no value in the word of God. They absolutely believe their wisdom is superior to that of God. They're in control of their own destiny. They think they are smart enough and self-sufficient enough to make it through this life and into a good eternity, if there is one. No bigger fool than a proud fool. The proud person doesn't realize it, but he is one with his master, the devil. The proud are identified by their disregard for God's word. And you could go to the Bible and see lots of scripture to back up that particular point. Then verse 22 of Psalm 119. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Reproach and contempt are what this world will throw at the people who will stand up for God and his truth. Jesus experienced it most of his life. Even when he was on the cross, suffering and dying, the religious leaders came by and they mocked him as he hung on the cross. Verse 22, the psalmist further goes on to say, I've kept thy testimonies. I've obeyed your word, my Lord, my God. But there's a cost connected to obedience. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me. But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. There were very influential people who spoke against the psalmist, but that did not stop him from standing for the Lord. Now think about that point, my brother and sister. Government people, the princes, the people in leadership in the country, they spoke against him, but he did not allow their wicked accusation, their lying accusations against him, he did not allow them to ever deter him in his walk with the living God and his fellowship with God. Do you know how many times in the last 2,000 years Satan has tried to totally destroy every Bible-believing Christian and every Bible? How many times? Read church history. It's nothing but a succession of opposition by our adversary, the devil, to destroy God and his people and the Bibles that they stand on. Let me give you another news item from this week. The Chinese Communist Party is currently working on rewriting the Bible. Did you hear that? How's that going to work out? Can you imagine when the atheists put their hands on this book to rewrite it? They want a Bible that will conform to their ideology. Let me give you another one. Do you know that the globalists, and I assume you know who the globalists are, and the AI that they are developing, they are using AI, artificial intelligence, to rewrite the Bible to make it compatible to a new world religion that the globalists are going to found under the direction of the United Nations, that they're going to apply to every person living on planet Earth. Do you see anything going on here? Do you see how we are coming to the place in our current generation where this book that the psalmist loved so much and talked about in the 119th Psalm, where we as Bible-believing Christians love and we read it and we study it, and we meditate on it, we want to live by it. But there are powerful forces at work to corrupt and destroy the Word of God. Will they succeed? I don't think so. They can't succeed. Because God has promised to preserve his word to every generation. They can't succeed. But let me tell you this much. They have a tremendous amount of momentum. They have the money of the world behind them. They have the political powers of the world behind them. They have the money of big business behind them. That's another scenario that we can't take time to talk about just now. But man, they seemingly have everything in their corner to attack God and his word and to take the truth of the word of God out of man's purview so that man has no access to the word of God. And then what? Can you see how much progress the devil has made in our generation? In light of that, Psalm 119 is so very, very, very important. Back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. If you read church history, there were times when the enemies of God and his word almost succeeded in destroying all the copies of the Bible. Had you lived in that day, what would you have left? If they searched your house, they searched your church, they searched your community and part of the country, they destroyed every Bible, what would you have left? What you had memorized and what the Holy Spirit would remind you of as you purpose to walk with God. I was tempted in this message to spend a little bit of time at highlighting the lives of the men and women who laid down their lives for this book. Do you know that back in the 1500s, 1400s, 15, 16, 1700s, that there were a lot of people that were burned at the stake for having a copy of this book? And that in the English language, many were burned to death because they dared to translate the Word of God and put it in the language of the common people so the common man could read and study the Bible, and they burned them to death at the stake. There's a cost to standing for the Word of God. And when reproach and opposition and persecution come, stand on the Word of God. Pray like the psalmist for God's strength and power to be victorious. Because we are at war today like never before. Like I've said in this message, the opposition of our adversary is becoming very intense and pointed. And how are you going to stand? Take the advice of the psalmist. Let's read verse 24 with his advice as a closing thought. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Thy testimonies, the Word of God, which is the testimony of God. He was going to delight in that. And the Word of God would be his counselor. May God help us to follow the counsel of God's Word. And equally important, may God help us to delight, to love the time that we are able to spend in the Word of God. Because might I say this? To spend time in the Bible is to spend time with God. And may God, as a Bible-believing Christian, give you the grace to see that in the day and hour in which we live, it's very, very, very important to have a walk with God. And that will include a walk in the Word and loving the God of the Word and delighting in what he has written. And then doing what he has written, obeying what he's written. The whole thing would be pointless if you don't obey what's written in the Bible. May God help us as his children to do that. Let's close in a word of prayer.